Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's scripture reading is going to be from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, which is page 897 in your pew Bible, and if you are able, please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this truth. We pray that we would lean not on our own understanding, but on yours. And in all this, be done in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a very interesting passage here because it kind of throws off our timeline as we've been every Sunday following through the message, and we've been going through where we were at the point where it was now the transfiguration. And Jesus had been doing his ministry, and then he was doing his, then there was the transfiguration. And as we come into Lent now, we know his ministry continues, but also he is about to be tried and then crucified and then resurrected from the dead, and he will visit his disciples, and then he will be ascended into heaven. So in the big picture of the timeline, we all of a sudden now we take a step back, and we step back to right after the baptism of Jesus. And the couple key things at his baptism is he's being baptized not because he needs to be baptized, but he's being baptized as we are in him. And this is when our baptism takes place. And when we are baptized, this is the baptism that we were baptized into. And sometimes we stop and we focus on ours only, but we can never do that. We always have to look at Jesus and his baptism, and that's the baptism that we were baptized into. And as we were baptized into him, now we are with him. We are in him. And the Scripture testifies that we were in him from the foundation of the world. And this isn't something that we can understand when we think about things the way we see things in this earth. But when we read through the Scripture, this is how God tells us that we were already in Christ. So now we've been baptized in him, and now he's received the Holy Spirit. So we also have received the Holy Spirit. And now as he goes through this whole journey, we are going to be in him. That all this he's doing for us. He's doing this for us. He's doing this for us to provide for us to today, but more importantly, to provide for us for our futures, so that one day we will experience that glory with him. And so now the Holy Spirit he received after being baptized, it says in the beginning of this text that it brings him, it leads him into the desert. So Jesus is human just as we are, and the Holy Spirit is there to guide him into the desert. So it isn't that the devil guided him in or trapped him there, but the Holy Spirit brings him there. So he is going there willingly. He's going there to do this for us, where he is to be tempted. And in this first verse, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So the Spirit is the Holy Spirit that leads him there. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, if we stop and we say, well, let's count to 40, we might think, well, that's gonna take a long time. But here it says Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights. And this is very interesting because, as we know, God's chosen people had spent 40 years in the wilderness in the Old Testament. And the words that Jesus is going to give the devil when he is tempted are also from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy. And so it's very interesting that it's the same amount of time. And he's, after 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And most of us, if we were to go 40 hours, we would be hungry. And so we think we might understand what this hunger may be like, but it is, it had to have been a severe hunger, because as we know, he was in the flesh, just as we are in the flesh. So he experienced all the same feelings that we experience. And the devil comes to him, and he goes right after the thing that he knows he would want the most at that time. He says, and the tempter comes and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And we know that Jesus, being all powerful, we know, as we believe in the Trinity, that indeed Jesus could have turned this stones into bread, and he could have had his fill. But that wasn't his purpose there. His purpose wasn't there to satisfy himself. He was there being tempted because he was taking on this temptation for us. He was resisting this temptation for us because he was looking ahead to the cross so that he would be that perfect sacrifice. God saw fit that his son would be the perfect lamb, and through this all, he had him baptized, and then now he's being tempted. And as we went through last Sunday, he was transfigured. And we were in him that whole time. We were being transfigured in him when he was transfigured. And now here, Jesus Christ is standing up to this temptation. He's not giving into it. And he's doing that for us. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And this is very interesting because Jesus, as we know, he's quoting scripture here when it says, as it is written, we know that that's what it says. But I want to turn to John, where Jesus talks about the bread. This sticky note, but it must have fallen out, but I got the... John chapter 6, verse 48, Jesus tells us, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of the bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And so this is that bread that Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about this earthly bread, but he's talking about this bread of life. And he is this bread of life that he will give you, that he will give us. And as the devil's trying to tempt him, we quickly learn that he has no power over him, that he's trying to use this earthly hunger because he misunderstands very much, as often we can misunderstand as we look at things of this world. We want to chase after a kingdom of this world. And this is how the devil was trying to tempt him also, to give him a kingdom of this world, to saying, you don't need to suffer this. And we know that Jesus was suffering this just as we would have suffered a temptation from the devil, but he's resisting it. And the amazing thing here too is, how does Jesus resist the devil when he speaks back to him? Is he uses the word. And he tells us many times in his word that he is the word. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And so we are able, in the same way now, we can confidently declare this word when we are tempted. And Jesus will come to us. He's with us, and he's giving us this strength when he dwells within us. When Martin Luther writes as that when the devil comes to knock at his heart and tempts him, there's someone who answers, and it's Jesus, and he says, I'm already here. Because that's the way it is for us. Even though you may feel that you can't resist this temptation, or even though you may feel that, oh, I have fallen into this, that is not the case, because Jesus Christ has come and been tempted already for us. He has suffered this. And then as he's continued on and gone to that cross for us, and we've been washed in his shed blood, so we are now white as snow. We are transfigured with him, as we learned about last Sunday. And now he tells us, have no fear. Just as after he was transfigured, he went to his disciples. And they were so afraid, but he tells them, stand up. Have no fear. And this is so amazing that now we can live in this same way, that we can stand up and we can have no fear. We don't need to shelter in place. He doesn't tell us to run and hide. He doesn't tell us to be afraid of this world. He never tells us anything like that. In fact, he tells us that he came and died for this whole world because he loves this whole world. So now we, being in him, we understand we are also his body. And so now we also can reach out to this world, and we can love this world because we are not afraid of this world, but we have the Father's heart for this world because Jesus Christ living in us gives us this. And the Holy Spirit comes to us and directs our paths. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And so the devil now, he tries to use scripture because he thinks maybe he can trick Jesus in this way. He takes a quote from the Psalms, and he uses it out of context. He distorts it. He uses it in a way that we know does not line up with the message of the good news that we have in Jesus Christ. And we are the same way, where we go about and we can hear things oftentimes where people pull things out of the scripture because they have an agenda or they have a personal feeling or an idea, and they take something out of context, but it doesn't line up. We can easily see if it doesn't line up with the whole big picture of the gospel message, that God loves you and he's brought his son now to be the perfect sacrifice for you, and he's cleansed you and now made you so you are transfigured and you are white as snow and you have been made perfect in him. If it doesn't line up with that, then we do not need to listen to that, because that is only a distraction. And that's where Jesus responds to him and says, Jesus said to him, again it is written, and he responds to him with scripture. Again out of Deuteronomy, he says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And this is the way we can always respond when we hear somebody telling us scripture in a way that will pull our focus off of Jesus Christ, that'll pull our focus off of the grace and the blood that he shed for us, and tries to get us to look at ourselves or to look at our neighbors in a way that we would think that we are not worthy or that they are not worthy of God's love. We can always go back to his word. In John, he tells us that he chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us before he went to the cross. He chose us when he was on the cross. And we know after he was on the cross and resurrected again, he still chose us, because he came to his disciples. He went and found them out. When they were in the upper room, he went and found them. When they were fishing, he went and found them. He still is that way today, in that he seeks you out. We can come to him with our problems. We can come to him with our cares. But even if we don't, he is still looking for us. And he is calling for us. He's calling us to come to him, and he's coming to us, meeting us where we're at, to give us this bread of life, the bread of life that is him. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. So now the devil sees that it didn't work to use scripture on him, so I am just going to give him the kingdom of this earth, the kingdom of this world. And for some of us, we've experienced something like that, maybe, where we've thought, this is the right thing I should do, or maybe I should do this, but then we are distracted and we look at something of this world that wants to pull our eyes away from our promises that we have secure in Jesus. And Jesus responds again with scripture, because even though now it didn't work for the devil to take something out of context, so now he tries to offer him something to entice him that maybe he'll think this is better. Jesus uses the word again, because the word is always the proper answer. The word is always our proper testimony. The word is always the witness to the answer. And as we read through his word, as we read through in John, he repeats that over and over again in John, that he is the bread of life. The way he keeps telling us that in John, it's as if he really wants us to understand that. He doesn't want us to forget that, that he is the bread of life. And so we can always remember that, that he will fill us up. He will give us this bread so we will live with him forever. Then the devil left him, and behold, or the verse before, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. This is Jesus's final words to him, and then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. And when it says ministering to him, we understand that these angels were taking care of his earthly needs, because this was not an easy thing for Jesus, the man, to experience, to suffer this temptation where we know that he had the ability to feed himself. We know he was being offered everything of this earth, and he chose not to. He chose not to accept any of this because of us. He did not want to be tempted because of us. And so now he has suffered this great temptation, but he has conquered it. And as the angels came and were ministering to him, and they take care of his earthly needs, so he is now able to continue on to his ministry. And then now he will move forward. And as we move into Lent, we can remember this now, that it is good news that Jesus suffered this temptation. We don't need to be depressed or feel sad that, well, I've also been tempted, and what are the things that I've been tempted with, and how am I going to take after this? We can look to Jesus, and when we're hungry, we can remember that he is the bread of life, and we can live in peace and wonder and worship through this time of Lent as we approach Easter for all the things that he has done for us. Hebrews 4:15 testifies to this portion of Matthew very well when it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." And so we realize from reading that, that he was tempted just as we are. And so he sympathizes with us because he knows how that feels. But yet, he was without sin. So now he was that perfect sacrifice. So now we know that we can rest in his promises today, tomorrow, and forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for sending your Son to do this work where he was tempted and suffered and died and rose again victoriously and ascended into heaven, where we know he now rules, and that as he has conquered death, hell, and the devil, so we too have also conquered this death, hell, and the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.